Joel chapter 2 today. The people of Judah are about to face a calamity so severe. Last chapter's locust invasion will be looked upon fondly. Well, maybe not. But the coming disaster is going to be way worse than the locust invasion. Now, before we jump into this chapter, I want to remind you about our conversation yesterday. Locust had invaded Judah, and Joel has called the people to repent, to return to the Lord. The danger is that if the people of Judah don't repent, they will face a worse judgment. So now, Joel switches gears, and instead of looking back to the locust invasion, he begins here in chapter 2 to look forward to a coming day of judgment. Verse 1, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come." The people of Judah were about to see a terrible day of judgment, a day that the Bible calls the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a common theme in the prophets, particularly in the minor prophets. It's a day of both judgment and salvation, depending on the condition of a person's heart. When we are right with the Lord, the day of the Lord is something we hope for. We want the final day of the Lord to come, the day that we will stand before the judge and have him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But when we are not right with God, it's a day to fear, a day when God shows his strength and might against us. Joel then describes a great army coming from the north, coming to destroy the nation. This army would not be like the locust. This was a real-life human army. And this army would not just be coming for crops either. They would be seeking conquest. Verse 10, "Before them the earth shakes, the heavens tremble. The sun and moon are darkened and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty is the army that obeys his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it?" One of the scariest things about this army is that the Lord calls it his. This is not just a human army that might be appeased with enough tribute. The Lord cannot be bought off, and if he wants an army to devastate a land, it will be accomplished. Now, scholars have tried to figure out which army this prophecy is about. Was it the Assyrians or the Babylonians? Maybe the Greeks or Romans? Or is it all a future army, and what is being described here is Armageddon? Honestly, it doesn't matter. I truly believe there is a reason Joel doesn't give us a clear date as to when these events take place. His message is actually a message for all people, at all times. And this message is found in verse 12. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God." Repentance. This is the great word of the prophets. If God's people would repent, would turn from their wicked ways, God would relent from punishing the nation. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, they all call for Israel to repent. The great message of John the Baptist and of Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it isn't even just the nation of Israel that receives this message. The Assyrians, ancient enemies of Israel, repented and were spared during the time of Jonah. And so Joel, for the second time in the book, tells Judah how they should repent. He calls them to fast, assemble, gather together the nation, and cry out to the Lord as one. And the people listened. Verse 18, "Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, 'I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations.'" God promised the people of Israel that he would relent from the judgment he was going to pour out on them. Now, there can only be one cause of this. The people returned to the Lord. They cried out to God in the midst of their sorrow, and he withheld the judgment that was due to them. The army would be driven off, never to bother them. This is the Lord's mercy at work. But it doesn't end there. Not only was God going to spare the judgment, but he was going to do an amazing work in their lives. The Lord was beginning to pour out his blessing on the land again. Verse 22. "The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. It wasn't because of the goodness of the people that these blessings will come. It is because of the faithfulness of God. We can repent all day long, but we're still guilty in our sins. But God's faithfulness to his covenant results in him showing mercy to us sinners. What a beautiful picture of the love of God. And it isn't even done yet. Verse 25, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. God promises his people that even that which was taken in judgment will be repaid to them because of his love. Sparing the people from further plagues, that was mercy. This is grace. The undeserved love of God poured out abundantly on us. God says, not only will I keep the army away, but I will pour out my blessings on you so abundantly that you will gain even that which was lost. It truly is the day of the Lord, a day of judgment for sinners, but a day of blessing for those who remain faithful. Verse 28, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter reaches back to this passage to explain what had happened to the early church's prayer meeting. The church was gathered in prayer, and fire descended upon them all, and they began to speak in other languages so that everyone who was in Jerusalem could hear the praises of God being proclaimed in their own heart language. And from that day until today, we are living in that great day prophesied by Joel. God's Spirit is still being poured out on his church as we wait for the great and terrible day of the Lord. A day of judgment is coming upon the earth, and all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The question is, will you be one of them? Today is the day. We aren't promised tomorrow. So, make your choice today. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.